You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ben Standing's with us, as he is every Friday and Monday at 12 noon. He's calling in from Los Angeles, where the team will practice today for the final time in preparation for the Chargers on Sunday. A 4:25 kickoff in SoFi. By the way, did you go to the game last night since you were out there or not?
No, I can only have so much SoFi Stadium in my life in one trip. But no, I did watch the end of it, but I did not go.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You're out in L.A. You've got, you know, time to enjoy it. Why go to a football game? I know a lot of people that would be number one on their list. Go to a baseball game, go to a football game. That's further down my list, and I think it is for you as well. All right, let's get to it. They're injured, really injured. What do you think the possibilities are that they're going to play Sunday without Debo in addition to no Terry and no Noah Brown?
Look, I mean, obviously, didn't practice the last 2 days, so something is amiss, something is afoot. But, you know, this is just sort of guessing, but I'm going to guess that he goes. Sounds like he was, out there yesterday working on the signed field. And, look, I think in his case, perhaps, we know about, he's had some injury history throughout his career. Two, last week they took him off kick returns and just played him at receiver, knowing that they were already out Terry McLaurin and Noah Brown. And so three, I imagine that at this point, if there's, anything going on, he obviously has shown a pretty good connection with the quarterbacks. Just let it, rest up, do whatever you got to do, and then get ready for Sunday. So that's my guess right now. But obviously, I don't know. I mean, it's already crazy enough that they're playing without Terry McLaurin and Noah Brown, considering the depth issues that we've talked all year. I can't even contemplate a world where Debo is also out.
Cliff said yesterday that we didn't want to put him out there, Jaden, that is, until he could be Jaden, and that's what he's going to be, and that's how he's going to play on Sunday. Can he be that with a knee brace? Have you talked to anybody? I'm just curious about what it would look like and whether or not it would be limiting if he has to wear a knee brace.
Yeah, I mean, I think, there can be some sort of, issue there. I mean, just from the pure standpoint of, you're having this, contraption on your body, and, it'd be one thing maybe if he was just a pure pocket passer. Obviously, that's not the case. So, he's the one that it matters to the most. And, the last couple of weeks when the topic has come up, he definitely, sounded like me at like 8 years old when my mom said, you got to eat your broccoli, God, really? I don't want to do this. But, it is what it is. He's going to have to, if the doctors say you got to do it to play, then they'll have to do it. So I imagine there will be some concern, or not concern, but some limitations, but we'll see. I mean, I guess the weird thing is, the last game we saw him was the Green Bay game, where before the injury, he was just completely you know, hemmed in by the Packers the whole game, which is very odd to see. So that having that memory and now discussing the possibility that he might be a little bit limited if he has to wear this knee brace. It's almost like we're discussing a quarterback that I don't even know. But, it is what it is. If he's going to play, then the doctor said to do it. You got to do it.
Bates is back. That's good news. Do you think against a team that has shown a lot of, you know, too high nickel, you know, extra DBs on first and second down, inviting teams to try to run the football, do you think Cliff will take the invitation this week and do it?
I mean, you would think so. It's been, you know, it feels like it's been as uneven as, like, the season has been overall. I feel like that's how it's been with the emphasis on the run game last week. I mean, the overall split between runs and passes wasn't really that dramatic, but it felt like the run game was, like, definitely, missing at times. So you would think that, especially with Jaden coming back, you know, take some pressure off of him, and the fact that, look, they're number two in the league in rush yards per game, despite ranking, you know, middle right of the pack in attempts, you would think you'd want to try to lean into that. And yeah, the Chargers play a lot of nickel and dime packages, and, you know, that means you're going to have smaller guys on the field. It has not mattered too much for them so far in terms of giving up yards. They're top four in the league in yards allowed and points allowed, so they've done a really good job no matter what they do, but you would think logically that they would. And, you know, look, even if, let's assume Debo still plays, you're down, you know, these playmakers. I mean, where's your playmaking coming from? Last time I checked, Bill is averaging, you know, over 5 yards a carry.
Almost 5.9 yards per carry. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And Chris Rodriguez is up there, you know.
Yeah.
So it just seems like, purely in terms of where are we going to be able to get some bigger plays, that seems as likely, if not more logical, than the other spots. So I would think you'd try to find ways to lean in and into the run game, and the Chargers are kind of daring you to do it.
Yeah. Let's see if they do that on Sunday. I mean, there's always the possibility that, really, with the receivers you're putting out here, no, we're going to load the box and see if you can beat us with your arm with those receivers. We're talking, of course, to Ben Standing, at Ben Standing on X, on Twitter. Last Man Standing is the podcast and also the Substack column in which I am a subscriber, and I would urge you to do the same. Ben writes pretty much every day covering this football team. The defense obviously got the bulk of the conversation and the criticism following the loss in Atlanta. And, you know, I listened to Joe Witt's press conference the other day. I'm just curious as to what your reaction was to his answers, to the way he answered the questions. Did you think that, was there anything that left an impression with you?
Well, I mean, look, yeah, in terms of, like, what went wrong against Atlanta, he talked about the same things that we've all talked about, you know, the missed tackling. He gave a little more explanation as to, you know, guys were maybe going for a little too much. He said on the Bijan Robinson 14-yard touchdown run that there was somebody that kind of went for the strip rather than going to take the guy down. And when it didn't happen, that just led to, you know, chaos. And Bijan got in there, and it looked like to me on the game tape that it was like Jeremy Reeves who got there first and went for the strip. And you know, then he talked about, you know, miscommunication pre and post snap, you know, and where that led to some issues. He pointed specifically to the third down, the first third down of the game for Atlanta. Kyle Pitts, again, kind of looked like Jeremy Reeves, jumped up to make the play where to cover Drake London coming in motion, except you had Lattimore over there, and then you had Frankie Louvu sort of dropping back to take a little that part of the field, and then all of a sudden Pitts goes deep. So we talked about those elements. I think he was pretty specific about what plays and what happened. And, you know, again, if you just have access to the All-22, like the public does these days, you can kind of see what was going on. So I think it's interesting that he was willing to be that sort of forthright in terms of what happened. But on the other hand, we want candor and honesty from the people that we talked to. So I don't have an issue that with him saying anything. And the reality is we all saw it. I mean, they were pretty poor. And despite all the injuries primarily affecting the offense, it's the defense that is back to being the real question here, because, you know, in two of the games, they've looked like more like the group from last year that we knew just wasn't up to snuff. And, you know, what is it? And the story I wrote today on my Substack is basically how the games is the Commanders and Chargers, but the reality is it feels like it's perception versus reality, because if you lose this game and the defense doesn't live up, you know, doesn't look improved, then, you know, where are we with this group? Same thing with the offense. I mean, Jaden has been out, obviously, the last couple of games with injury, but the Green Bay game, you know, they didn't look good before the injury. They haven't looked as sharp as they did last year when Jaden's been out there. So, like, if you go out and lose this game, where are they at? Like, what is this team? And I think the defense in particular, again, with the offense, people injured, Jaden just coming back, we can maybe give a little bit of a pass. But the defense has got to step up. And, they can't look like they did against Green Bay and Atlanta. And the schedule's only getting harder. I mean, you know, there's no poor quarterbacks that they're going to be dealing with, you know, for most of the rest of the way. So they're really going to have to figure out how to do this. And, that's what I say. I think the defense, whatever you think of what Joe Witt was saying, I do think there was some urgency there, and there needs to be.
Yeah, you're right. The answers were rather detailed. That's for sure. I mean, the answers were multiple minutes, each of them. And the one thing that I just noted is, you know, basically, you're right. We got a lot of candor from him about how the players messed everything up on Sunday and didn't do essentially what they were coached to do. So that can last for a little bit, but that can't last forever because eventually, if they're not doing what you're telling them to do, they got to find somebody else that can communicate it better. I'm not suggesting that's where it's headed. I just thought it was interesting. I went back after the show yesterday and listened to the whole thing, and I find him very candid and going through everything in detail to really help everybody understand. But at the end of the day, it was, in his opinion, the players who screwed up. And I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm not saying he's wrong.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, I mean, the two plays he cited, I think you go back and look, I think he's right.
Well, there's obviously a lot of capes talk. Like, we got to stop putting on the capes.
Yeah.
And trying to be heroes.
Yeah, and he said, like, Frankie Louvu was the only player who
played
well.
Only player who played well.
I mean, again, it's like,
I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just saying, typically that's not the best way to handle it publicly. Because if you get that week in and week out where it's always the players after a bad performance, that grows old. We'll see. It's 1 week. We can move on from that. All right. Let's move on, because I'm wondering if you think, you know, based on what you've watched and based on people you've talked to, if there is, you know, a confidence in a solution, like even Quinn and even Witt Jr., they referred to the two games in which they played well, almost ignoring the fact that neither one of those two teams was very good, the Giants or the Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was after the Raiders game, I was talking to Javon Kinlaw, and I was like, you know, if I ask you, you guys have had a couple of uneven games here. If I ask you which is the reality, you're going to tell me it's the Raiders game versus, say, the Green Bay game. I get that, but like, why? You know, like, what's the real confidence level that that's the case? And he was like, hey, you know, we did it. You know, we were pretty dominant in doing it. We know we have the talent, and I think that's just how professional athletes are to a degree. They obviously just, you know, you have to have blinders on, tunnel vision, be confident, focus on, you know, what's positive, but also what do you need to do to be good. And if you don't, you know, if you've seen the talent, you've seen the success, the opponent to a degree doesn't quite matter. That's if you're wearing all the blinders. Sometimes though, you do get people who understand, you know, what's going on. And I think there was some recognition of the players and the staff that, you know, what happened against Atlanta felt a little too similar to what happened against Green Bay. And even if you think that the two other games were really good, that's hard to, you know, it's hard to ignore. And, you know, look, I mean, they've had some injuries, no doubt, but not compared to what the offense has been missing. You know, they've had the margin of error injuries, yeah, that unfortunately teams suffered, not missing
Will Harris being number one. Yeah.
Yeah, but not missing your starting quarterback, your number one receiver, the other receiver, and all these things. So, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, they're going to have to find a way. But, of course, and I think it's also, you know, as we've discussed, you know, is Marshon Lattimore getting picked on, or are they not using him in ways that make the most sense if you're going to have a Marshon Lattimore? Is Bobby Wagner, you know, making great plays 90-something percent of the time, but when the other team is able to, you know, put him in a bad spot, you're like, oh boy, this isn't going to go well, and there's no way to really fix that, right? I mean, so it feels like that to me is like where they're at a little bit at the crossroads. There's reason to be hopeful and optimistic, but man, the way the mistakes are kind of happening, yeah, you know, like you said before, you know, if the message isn't getting through, how do you fix it? And that's what I think they're, again, that's to me why I wrote, like, I think this is a perception versus reality game. They go out there and win. Whatever happens, they win. You know, on Monday, you and I aren't discussing the negatives. We're saying, okay, 3-2.
But we could be. You know. We could be if it's, you know, 38-37 and the defense couldn't get off the field. But we'll take that. You know, we'll take it and run with it. I've got one more on the defense, and that is this. What are the chances, you give me the percent chance, that on Sunday before the game we get surprised like we did against the Raiders with somebody being inactive or somebody being benched? We had the Brandon Coleman and the Allegretti, you know, day before the Raiders game. What's the chances we get that with personnel on defense Sunday?
I don't know. It feels pretty small. Like, I don't, you know, again, we're saying there's more injuries happening on the other side of the ball, but, you know, they've now lost two defensive ends, so they're pretty thin. They're not thin, but, like, you know, they're losing the margin of error from a depth perspective there, so I don't think there's much they can do. I think the defensive tackles, by and large, have been fine. They just need Payne, in particular, to be more, you know, much more present in the game, you know, much more consistent. Linebackers, again, we can discuss, should they make some sort of a change in passing down situations? To what? Like, there's no, you know, Jordan McGee has barely played this year, and I don't think that's because they feel compelled to have to keep Bobby Wagner on the field. I think it's because he's not shown, there's not enough trust in him to play. And then you look at the corner situation again, like, I don't know, you know, where would you go? You can fetch about Marshon Lattimore all you want, but, like, you know, and look, I don't think it's all on him as much as maybe some people do, but, like, where else would you go anyway? And, like, I guess the one thing, if you say it's safety, is, like, you know, if Percy Butler could get back somehow, You know, could you maybe play him more instead of Jeremy Reeves at safety? Maybe, but, you know, Jeremy Reeves is the backup already, so it's, that to me wouldn't be notable. So I don't really know what I would even think that the move would be defensively. Again, maybe somebody plays more or less than they had, but I can't see what the inactive would be.
All right. Inactive, no. Could I see a scenario in which on 2nd and 12 and 3rd and 12 they actually take Wagner off the field? Maybe it's not Jordan McGee. Maybe it's another DB. Could I envision Lattimore being benched, Sanders still moving outside, Noah I being the nickel corner? You know, these are the kinds of things that I think, you know, if I saw that Sunday, I wouldn't be shocked, because this coaching group, they've already proven, at least on the offensive side of the ball, if they don't like something, they'll make a change. And there was a lot not to like last week, but maybe, you know, they believe that they can fix things this week. We'll see. Talking to Ben Standing, of course. All right, let me get your, you know, how do they win Sunday preview.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, for all the lamenting we're doing about them, you know, the Chargers are going to be without, you know, they're two starting offensive tackles from the beginning of the year. Presumed Joe Alt, I don't think he's been officially ruled out, but it sounds like he's not going to play with a high ankle sprain. And right. Justin Herbert's been getting pressured almost on half of his dropbacks the last couple of weeks. So, you know, even if the Chargers are not, from an overall team perspective, are not going to be viewed as the Giants or the Raiders, from an offensive line perspective, they may very well be in that category. And this is where, if the defense is going to show what it can do, this is a great opportunity to get after this guy. And obviously Justin Herbert is, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And, you know, he's been making plays on the perimeter with Keenan Allen and Quentin Johnson at receiver. These are two, like, power forward type receivers, the type of guys that, just to go back to Lattimore, the Lattimore has had issues with in his time with Washington. So, you know, if you let Herbert find those guys down the field, based on what we've seen so far, that's going to be a long day. They haven't really gotten Ladd McConkey involved yet this year out of the slot. He was just a massive weapon for them. And then, you know, they've got a rookie running back in Amarian Hampton. You know, he's had some good moments, but, you know, again, you gotta keep him penned in. I think the Chargers defense has been really, really good this year. The potential advantage that we discussed is the fact that they play a lot of nickel and dime. So Maybe this is where you lean into the run, but, you know, I don't think this is going to be a game where you can just say, hey, the offense is going to go out there and roll again, especially since we just haven't seen Jaden for the last couple of weeks. So, you know, I think they've got to get after Herbert. If Herbert has time, the way Penix did last week, and we would have thought, okay, get Penix off his spot, don't give him no rhythm, that's a problem. I mean, Herbert, really, really good no matter what's going to happen, but that's, I think, the way they're going to have to win this game is pressure Herbert so that Chargers offense isn't able to dictate things, because I think their defense is going to be able to, you know, keep Washington somewhat in check.
All right, so your prediction is?
Oh, man, I mean, I think, you know, I think I'd have to go with the home team here, something in the neighborhood of 20-17, you know, the obviously turnovers and those types of deals are always the X factor. And, you know, I guess you could say this is Washington's week based on how they've gone this year. Every other week that they have played, you know, they've played good. You know, maybe that happens this week, but the Chargers are coming off a loss. To the Giants, no less. I figure they find a way. But if that offensive tackle situation is, you know, as bleak as it could be, maybe that's where, again, Washington sneaks in. But overall, I'm going to go with the Chargers. And I think the note for me is, again, perception versus reality. If they lose, Washington is under 500 for the first time since week one last year. We have not had to talk about this team. Again, it's only week five and all that, but we haven't had to talk about them in that way, right? So,
yeah, I didn't think about that, but you're right. They started out 4-1 before they lost to Baltimore, got to 7-2. And 2-3 would be, you know, based on where we were a month ago, would be very disappointing. But there would be reasons for it, and the reason number one would start, it happens when, you know, you have a lot of key injuries in a season. Plenty of time to turn it around, though. All right, you got the Chargers in a close one.
Yeah, I mean, I know some people might think the line's smelly, so I hear that.
Yeah, it does. Very much so. Very much so.
But, so there's that. I acknowledge it. But just based on the facts on the ground, that I'd go the Chargers by a little bit, yeah.
All right. Enjoy the weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday.
Yeah, man. See ya.
Ben Standing, everybody, at Ben Standing on X on Twitter. When we come back, smell test for the week. Five consecutive winning weeks to start off 2025-2026. The picks next.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.